Great having you wake up on the right side with me. I sure do appreciate it. Want to get to our guest right away because he's one of the most interesting people in the United States of America. You might not know his name, but what I say is correct. David M. Walker, the former comptroller of the United States and the founder and CEO of the Comeback America Initiative. Also the author of a book of the same name. He joins me here, Talk Radio 570 KVI. And it was as comptroller, general of the United States, and head of the U.S. Government Accountability Office that you saw a side of America's finances that very few other people get a peek of, Mr. Walker. Welcome.
Good to be with you, John. Well, I did. That's right. I blew the whistle that Washington was out of touch and out of control in September of 2003, which was the year that the budget controls had expired and things totally spun out of control. And, you know, it's pretty evident that a lot of people, including senators and members of the House, have not read the financial statements of the U.S. government, or they wouldn't be making some of the outrageous claims that they're making.
I want to play a clip of Nancy Pelosi, the former House Speaker, the head of Democrats in the House of Representatives, talking about the issue of federal spending. She was on with Chris Wallace from Fox News. Here's what she had to say.
So again, we have to make a judgment about how do we get growth with jobs? That's where the real revenue comes from. So it isn't as much a spending problem as it is a priorities, and that's what a budget is, setting priorities. So it is almost a false argument to say we have a spending problem. We have a budget deficit problem that we have to address.
We don't have a spending problem. We have a budget deficit problem. Last time I checked, Mr. Walker, we're borrowing 40 cents of every dollar we're spending. That would tell me we seem to have a spending problem.
Well, we have multiple problems. She obviously, with all due respect, has not read the financial statements of the U.S. government, because she wouldn't make such an outrageous statement if she did. Let me give you a few facts. 100 years ago, the U.S. government was 2% of the economy. This year, it's going to be 23% of the economy, headed to 37% of the economy on autopilot. We're spending $1.40 for every dollar in revenue we're bringing in. We've lost control of the budget. 100 years ago, Congress controlled 97% of spending. Now they only control 33% and declining.
Now, explain that, because a lot of people don't realize that a lot of spending escalates automatically. Congress does nothing, and it still escalates.
A vast majority of the budget is on autopilot with no limit. We've written a blank check, namely Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, a range of other mandatory spending, tax expenditures, deductions, exemptions, credits, and exclusions. You know, there's two kinds of spending. There's front-door spending, which is $3.6 trillion, and there's back-door spending through tax expenditures, which is $1.1 trillion. That's $4.7 trillion, and there's absolutely no question that it's out of control. Now, do we need to do other things? Yes, we need to improve economic growth, create more job opportunities. And we are going to need comprehensive tax reform that will generate more revenues. But there's no question that we have a spending problem, and we need to get control of it.
Now, I have seen several studies, Mr. Walker, that say that more tax revenue actually makes deficits worse because it retards the incentive to spend money. That as soon as people see more tax revenue on the table, they say, oh, thank goodness, we thought we were going to have to cut. Now we don't have to cut, or at least we don't have to cut as much. And then, of course, there's a couple of appropriators who say, well, wait a minute, with more taxes on the table, I'm going to grab a share.
Well, the truth is that you do not want to generate more revenues and provide new forms of taxation, such as a progressive consumption tax or an alternative way to deal with energy taxes, unless and until you have tough budget controls in place, and we haven't had them since 2002, and you've reached an agreement that will end up dealing with mandatory spending. You have to accomplish those two things. And once you accomplish those two things, then you can end up generating more revenues through comprehensive tax reform. We're not at the point where you get to the law of diminishing returns. We have taxed before at about 20.6% of GDP, and quite frankly, we don't need to go over that in order to achieve fiscal solvency and sustainability over time.
All right.
But you have to address spending. It's at least 2 to 3 to 1 a spending issue versus revenues.
Now, Paul Krugman, Nobel Prize-winning economist, liberal columnist for the New York Times, says all this talk about deficits is vastly overblown, that in fact, if it weren't for the deficit spending, the economy would be in worse shape. Best thing that the president and Congress can do right now is kick the can down the road. Those were his words. The best thing they could do is kick the can down the road.
Well, all I can say is that some people don't recognize bubbles until they burst, and they don't recognize cliffs until they go over them. You know, the truth is that we do need to be doing more targeted investment for critical infrastructure and basic research in the short term in order to help grow the economy, improve our competitive posture, and generate more jobs. At the same time, we must couple it with clear, credible, concrete, and enforceable plans to deal with these structural deficits, where we will make changes in the law, phased or over time, over who's eligible for what, at what age, for what benefit, and with what public subsidy.
Okay.
You've got to do both, because otherwise it's imprudent and not politically feasible.
Here is Tom Harkin, outgoing senator. He's not going to run for another term. He's been in the Senate for 30 years from the state of Iowa. He was on MSNBC with Ed Schultz yesterday.
When you hear the Republicans talk, Ed, about we got to cut this, we got to cut that, we got to cut this, it's almost like they're saying we're poor. The United States, we're poor, we're broke. The fact is, Ed, we are the richest nation in the history of the world. We are the richest nation today. We have the highest per capita income of any industrialized country.
Not true.
So you have to ask the question, if we're so rich, why are we so broke? The reason is we have a misallocation of money, of capital. Too much has gone into fewer and fewer hands, into large corporations.
Okay, now that is a point of view that a lot of powerful senators in Washington, D.C. happen to hold. What do you think?
Well, he obviously hasn't read the financial statements of the U.S. government. It's true that we're the largest economy on Earth. We're the temporary sole superpower, and that we can pay our bills when they come due. It's also true that when you use honest and comparable accounting, the total government debt to GDP, federal, state, local, plus what we owe Social Security and Medicare, their trust funds, there's only one country in Europe with higher debt to GDP than us, and that's Greece. And that we're adding debt at or near record rates. These people just don't understand basic finance. They don't understand that the United States has more time to put its finances in order, but, not unlimited time, and that we are not exempt from the laws of prudent finance. You can't spend $1 trillion more than you take in, charge it to the credit card, self-deal in your own debt, which is what the Fed is doing, without having someday a reckoning.
My guest is David Walker, the founder and CEO at Comeback America Initiative, which I'm going to want you to tell our listeners a little bit more about here in just a minute, Mr. Walker. Also the author of a best-selling book, Comeback America, Turning the Country Round and Restoring Fiscal Responsibility. Mr. Walker has actually made what some people would call the very dull science of accounting compelling, because he's associating the ledger sheet, the financial condition of the United States, with the future and where it is taking us. The president is delivering the State of the Union address this evening. What do you want to hear him say, Mr. Walker?
The president needs to focus on going directly to the American people while also speaking to Congress about the need to improve economic growth, enhance our competitive posture, generate more jobs, fiscal responsibility, and intergenerational equity. He needs to commit to coming up with a comprehensive deal that will help address short-term needs and structural challenges. He needs to use language that brings people together rather than divides people apart. He needs to commit to put everything on the table, including social insurance reforms, efforts to deal with health care cost reduction, and comprehensive tax reform that will achieve more revenues. He needs to lead he has not led in this area. And in fairness, President George Walker Bush, 43, didn't either. So he's not the first one that's failed to lead on this, but he's got to lead now, because if he doesn't do it tonight, it's probably going to be at least another 2 years before we see meaningful progress, because you don't make meaningful progress in election years.
Dr. Benjamin Carson, the head of pediatric neuroscience, neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, of all people, at the National Prayer Breakfast last Thursday, took on the issue of tax reform. And here is a little bit of what he said, Mr. Walker.
And when I pick up my Bible, you know what I see? I see the fairest individual in the universe, God, and he's given us a system. It's called tithe. Now, we don't necessarily have to do it 10%, but it's principle.
And he went on to say the principle is you earn $10 billion a year, you put $1 billion in. You earn $10 a year, you put $1 in. Some people, he said, will complain about a system like that, say, wait a minute, the person who's putting in $1 billion isn't hurting like the person who earns $10. He said, why do you have to make them hurt? They just put in $1 billion. Is that too simplistic, or do we need simple?
Well, first, it sounds like that the reverend is for the flat tax.
He's a doctor, by the way, not a reverend. Yes, he is. He's for a flat tax.
The doctor is for a flat tax. The Democrats will never go for that. The truth is we need to streamline and simplify our tax system, make it more competitive, make it more equitable, and generate more revenues. Right now you've got 46.4% of individuals who file tax returns do not pay any income tax. They pay payroll taxes, but those payroll taxes aren't adequate to fund the programs they're earmarked for. And in addition, 20% of people who file federal income tax returns actually get a rebate, not because they paid in too much in tax. It's a refundable tax credit called the earned income tax credit.
Yes.
We've got to have more people paying something under a more progressive tax system, and you achieve that through comprehensive tax reform.
All right. Now, if you could set the rates, and you could devise a tax system, what would it look like, Mr. Walker?
Yeah, I would probably have three rates, 10, 15 to 20, and 25 top. I would eliminate a lot of deductions, exemptions, credits, and exclusions, both for individuals and corporations. If you can get the top marginal tax rate down to 25%, you can tax capital gains, dividends, and ordinary income the same, which deals with the equity issue. There are certain deductions you'd keep, but just a few, like one home, primary mortgage interest, charitable contributions, and reasonable incentives for savings and retirement that are locked up for disability and retirement.
Like 401ks.
Right. If you do that, then I think you have a system that's much simpler, much fairer, much more equitable, and frankly, it will generate more revenues. I think we need to consider some type of a progressive consumption tax. We're the only major industrialized nation that doesn't have one. But again, I would not do that until you have tough budget controls in place and until you've reformed mandatory spending programs where you've actually locked in the savings, not based upon a promise, but based upon changes in the law.
And that would be a sales tax when you say progressive.
Yeah, it could be a sales tax. It could be a VAT tax, value-added tax. I mean, there's different ways you can do it. But because keep in mind, wealthy people don't just spend out of their income, they spend out of their wealth. And that's another way to be able to get them to contribute more.
We have 1 minute left. I want you to spend it telling our listeners, David, about the Comeback America Initiative.
The Comeback America Initiative is a nonpartisan, non-ideological nonprofit that focuses on educating and engaging the public on the facts, the truth about our finances. Nonpartisan solutions can get bipartisan support. You can find out more about it at keepingamericagreat.org.
Keepingamericagreat.org. Is it something you can join?
Well, it's something you can show your support for. The other thing is, it's not really a joining organization, but one of the things we have going on right now through a Facebook campaign, No Deal, No Break, the idea is that Congress shouldn't be taking a week off for every federal holiday, a two-week spring break, and an August recess until we get a fiscal grand bargain. Look, we
great idea.
Problems.
Great idea. I tell you,
no deal,
David,
no
I count me as a fan and this
Thank
show
you.
As an ally in getting some of the things that you are talking about, because I think that you have been a voice in the wilderness, and hopefully you don't feel like you're so much in the wilderness anymore.
Well, no, I don't. The American people are ahead of the politicians. They're ready for truth, leadership, and solutions. Washington just needs to give it to them.
Beautiful. All right. Well, again, thanks for being there, and thanks for being with us, David.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. That's David Walker, the head of the Comeback America Initiative, the former Comptroller General of the United States, and, believe it or not, a member of the Accounting Hall of Fame. That sounds like an exciting group. It's 20 after 5. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.